Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to episode 89 of the Rocket Punch Cast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Cameron Kearns, here alongside my partners in crime, Mr. Will Turkhurst and Mr. Chris Scott. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hi.
Hey.
That's it? Just like, hey, what's going
on? No, I'm vertical. You know, just still haven't seen Black Panther yet, to my own dismay.
We got to get you on that. We've already planned. We're going to try and fix that this week.
Yeah.
Sometime to get you on board.
Worst case scenario, it will be Friday. Worst case.
It will be seen this week.
Yeah.
I think we can guarantee that. If you want to come, you're more than welcome to, if work can let you go for like 2.5 hours.
Doubtful.
Doubtful? No, don't know yet?
Just call in dead. You'll be fine.
There you go.
Hey. Yeah, work. Just want to let you know that I'm dead.
I'm dead now.
But I'll be back tomorrow for just want to let you know that.
You know, it'll be fine. What's the worst that happens?
Exactly. So for people who are watching us over at twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive, you might see some slight differences in the video. We kind of, would you consider this an upgrade?
Ooh, I would. Upgrade.
A little bit of an upgrade here on some of the video quality. We are, if you're able to, we are streaming at a full 1080p, 60 frames per second. That has not crashed the stream as far as I can tell. So that's great. We're doing good on that front.
Huzzah.
We're actually streaming at 1080 60?
Yeah. I put the video at 1080p and FPS is as high as you can go. Match whatever's going out. Cool. So I didn't want to break it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like we had such a hard time getting this set up. I was like, look, just don't breathe on it. Don't do anything with it. Just let it go.
See, I thought you were taking the video in at 1080 and we were still shooting out at 720.
No, it is streaming at 1080. Now, you can downgrade to 720 if your connection can't handle it, but we are, if you do source, it is at 1080p 60.
Nice.
So that is
nice.
Very nice. We at Rocket Punch here strive to do better, give you guys better content. So there you go.
Well, I can tell you when I stream at the house, I push it out as high as resolution as my bandwidth can handle. So
4K 60?
Well, I don't have anything except for the TV that can show in 4K. So usually 1440p.
Okay, I'll take that.
70 frames, just because my monitor is being weird.
That's pretty weird, yeah.
It's like, oh, Overwatch says 70 is the cap of the monitor? All right, well then we're going 70.
But first and foremost, guys, let's jump through some of the housekeeping here. If you did not know, this is the Rocket Punch Cast, where groups of friends from all over, us three, many more people as well, come from all around this table, talk about video games into microphones here. You can listen to us every Tuesday on podcast services around the globe, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, some other RSS feed that's pulling us for some odd reason. You can find it. We'll be there. We promise. If you like the video aspect, you can watch us live every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time over at twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. You can join in on the conversations as we stream it live to you guys there. As always with our audio and video, if you are watching us over on Twitch, definitely give us a heart. Follow our channel there. That way you'll know when all of our podcast episodes are streamed every Sunday and also when all of our Rocket Punch live streams are done this week. Also, if you're listening via audio services and podcast services, please, 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 if you can, rate and review us over on your podcast service of choice, iTunes, Google Play. It really helps us out with our discoverability, and we would appreciate it if you take a few minutes to give us a review. Let us know how we're doing here at Rocket Punch. And of course, guys, if you don't know, you're curious about what we do here, you can always go to our website at rocketpunchgo.com. It's your one-stop shop where you're going to be able to find all of the content, all the podcasts, streams, everything we do here at Rocket Punch there. If you're wanting to ascend to greater heights, go further beyond, as we like to say here, you can always go to our Patreon page and support us over there at patreon.com/rocketpunch. You can also find more information about what our Patreon does for you and for us over on rocketpunchgo.com. We've got a nice little page we've set up there as well to help you out. Speaking of Patreon, definitely want to let our Patreon viewers know kind of some of the updates. We've got our Rocket Punch Cast bonus episode going out this week. Thought it was a pretty good one this month.
Yeah.
Very cool. Different topic. Different take on the topic.
Mm.
Probably the one I'm more excited for, though, for people at the Platinum tier over on our Patreon page, we've got our brand new Patreon-only show. It's called IRL. It basically... our variety show, kind of a show we wanted to do where it's everything except for games. So tech, movies, comics, all that stuff.
Everything except for video games.
There you go. We did make that correction there. Everything except for video games. That kind of episode 00 is going to kind of the beta, I guess we'd call it, yeah, the beta form of the show is going to go live this week. We're not sure of the day when, but it will be this week for Patreon members. That is a Patreon-only show, and you guys are going to get a little taste of that kind of leading into next month. That'll be a monthly show for people at the Platinum tier or higher. We hope you guys enjoy that. Give us feedback on it. Let us know how we can improve it, or if it's just awesome already. You know, that happens sometimes.
Yeah, we skip alpha, we skip beta.
Yeah, there you go.
Straight to live.
We're ready to go. If you also were in our Patreon, last week we did our free game giveaway for people at our gold tier. This week we will be doing our free game plus. So if you are at the platinum tier or higher, you'll be able to get a chance at another game that last week we gave away Owlboy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was really cool. We've got another game we're going to be giving away this week. So if you're at those tiers, stay tuned. You'll see what game we're giving away over at patreon.com/rocketpunch here. If you're in the Twitch stream, you want to ask questions, just do a hashtag AskRocketPunch in the Twitch chat. We'll answer those questions as soon as we see them at the end of each show there. Any other updates? Other updates we've got? Upcoming events. If you are in the Huntsville or North Alabama area and you're going to be at the Huntsville Comic and Pop Culture Expo this weekend, it's this weekend, February 24th, 25th, make sure you swing by our panel on Saturday, February 24th at 2 p.m. We've got a cool little panel we'll be doing for licensed video games. I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be hoping to have good conversations, good talks there.
Yeah.
But we'll be there. We'll also be jumping in and out throughout the expo throughout the weekend. So if you see us, definitely come say hi and definitely come join the panel there. Hopefully we'll have a lot of fun there. And also just another kind of more of just a PSA. If you are in the North Alabama area, be sure to swing over to the Huntsville Comic-Con over at the Low Mill Arts and Entertainment Building, March 30th and 31st. So that's a little bit after the expo, but we'll give you guys a heads up on that because we went last year, Will, and had a lot of fun.
Yeah, of cool stuff. It was enjoyable. I would definitely say I'll do it again. As long as I'm off work, I'll be there.
Yeah, most definitely. So
I was there. I did it.
Yeah, you did.
I put a video up.
Why do I keep forgetting that?
The Threatketeers over at Credible Threat Gaming on YouTube. Head over to CredibleThreatGaming.com. Check out our YouTube page. There's a whole video. I did a good video, actually. That one was pretty funny.
I don't know why I keep forgetting that.
Yeah, we did interviews and stuff. I had some jokes. I get a couple jokes in there.
Oh,
good.
Wow, really? Oh, man.
It's stuff.
I got to watch this then.
It's high quality, top tier level Puminol action going on. You're missing out if you don't go check it out.
What you're saying is I should find this video and then tweet it out to all the people going.
Yes, absolutely. You should do that.
Yeah.
We'll do it. We'll make it happen. We'll make, get everybody pumped up for the Comic-Con.
It's like last year. Get ready for this year.
Yeah, right.
And this is the second year, so I'm excited to see what they've improved on.
Me too.
Definitely.
Last year was fun.
Now, last year, one cool thing is they had actually some local rocket scientists there talking about things that could actually happen from sci-fi in today's world. Yep. So that was pretty cool. And they were talking about like exploring space.
They also had a Falcon.
Yes. So the Falcon was dope. That was cool.
I don't know if you saw that.
I'm sorry. I was a sci-fi nerd, so I was like, ooh, NASA. Yes, let's talk about this.
That was really cool. It was really cool. But that's all. Unless you guys have anything else, that is it for the housekeeping. Can you speak now or forever hold your peace? Or however they say it. I don't know.
I'm good for now, but okay. I'm going to speak later.
Okay, fair enough. So
he doesn't have to follow your rules, Cameron.
Like, what? No, he does not. We may be
main host, but delete camera.
It's very easy. We have access to everything. It's very easy to kick one of us off here. The stroke of a key and
digital
it's
cut mic.
So let's jump in. We're done with the housekeeping here. Let's jump into table talk. Guys, what have we been playing this week? Will, you're always up first.
I stream Mad Max. So, you know, for those of you who missed it should be in the archives. It does have the mature filter on there because, well, it's Mad Max.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, actually. I feel bad for the dog. I'm going to go ahead and say there's a dog in there, and he's bleeding out.
Oh.
Yeah, so I felt bad for him.
So no. Puppy lovers, be warned.
Did you have like any guy playing like a guitar with like shoots flames out of the side of it?
Actually, like, yes.
Yeah.
That was in there, but I can't tell if it was a guitar or drums, but he did have fire coming out of pipes on the top of him. So yes.
Okay.
Man. And then what's another thing? Oh, ran for my ever loving life in the car, like just like set piece chase out of an area as explosions are going off. That was cool.
That was really cool. Yeah, I've had Mad Max. I've wanted to play it. I just haven't had the chance to. So I know last week
What platform do you have it on?
Xbox, I think it was on sale.
Yeah, I got a part of Game Pass. That's why I was like,
okay. Okay. But you enjoyed it.
Yes, no, it is definitely not bad. I will say the car combat is great. Look, all I know is I have a grappling hook, and I can hook people's doors and pull them off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after I hook your door, I can either grab you through your door with a grappling hook and pull you out with just the pure speed of my vehicle, or I can pull you through your windshield. Your car stops, your body keeps going, and I can quick retract you right into a brick wall.
Real physics, everyone.
Real. So real.
It's like, hey man, look, if someone gets a harpoon like that big around through their head, they're dead anyway.
I was going to say, I was asked, like, they're probably dead as soon as they flew out of the car, but
I would think.
But, you know, hey, look, at the end of the day, the point is, I blow their car up, I take the junk pieces from their car, and I improve my car with them.
Yeah. Cool deal, cool deal.
So, that's fun. Finally finished the Antorus raid.
So, for World of Warcraft? Okay. Yeah. Good?
Yes. The story you may or may not like. It sets things up very interestingly.
Okay.
There is a final quest that they could have done better coming out of that.
Oh, really?
Okay. I'll wait until you finish and then we'll talk.
Okay. Well, like, as far as like the raid mechanics for the different bosses and everything like that.
Dude, it was pretty... LFR. Let me tell you right now.
I mean, okay.
Yeah.
Total chaos.
Yeah.
Just kill them. Just shoot the things. Don't stand in the fire.
Stay out of the things and go shoot the things.
Yeah. Half the people there were actually trying to do raid mechanics. The other half are running around with their heads cut off.
Sounds like LFR.
Yeah. So it's like I'm sitting there for the cinematics and I'm like, they're going to get mad and try to kick me if I don't skip this, aren't they? Oh, yeah. Look at that.
You sure? Oh, did it really kick you?
I got kicked once because I wanted to sit through the cinematic.
Oh, man, screw them. Whatever, man.
That's why we need to get a raid group together.
You don't want to sit in the. You don't want to sit through the cinematics. Go get your 10-man raid. Go do that. Go do that over there. It's LFR. It's for people who want to see the story.
Who want to see the story and are waiting on everyone else to get up to raid level.
Exactly. Exactly. But no, it's cool. I mean, it's exciting, and we're at the end of Legion, so.
Yeah, but I can say I've played at least LFR all the way through, so I know the story for it, so I'm happy for that. You know, once you're comfortable healing, I'll switch over to tanks back and see if we can get another tank and another couple healers and roll.
It'll take some time, and I'll talk about it here.
You're at 870 gear, so we can go back to the first raid tier for this expansion.
And we can jump straight in?
And we can jump straight into that, so at least that way we can learn the mechanics and do all that.
Yeah, I'm DPS spec, so I'll need some resto gear.
Yeah, so we run LFR for the gear drop of resto, because you can choose what you get gear for.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I did gear drop for heals, so I'm ready to rock.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but it's fun so far.
Okay, good. Chris, what about you?
Well, mostly just did our streams. Didn't find a whole lot of free time this week between prepping for our RPG campaign, our Star Wars RPG campaign, and then cleaning the house, which the house looks phenomenal right now. So,
okay,
did a little work to get there, but we're there now. So, but we did do some streams. So the Overwatch stream on Monday was a blast.
Oh man,
I hadn't played Overwatch in forever either.
That was we got to make sure we. If that's not already archived, we need to archive that and make sure that rolls out.
I agree. That was fun.
That was a whole lot of fun. We're hoping to do another stream. Probably by the time you watch this or listen to this on podcast services, the stream will have been done.
Mm.
We'll shoot. We're going to shoot for Mondays having that Overwatch stream. It was a whole lot. Like we planned for 2 hours and ended up being like as far as we could push it before we were like, we got to go. We got to get out of here.
Right. Bastion is bae, apparently, for me. I switched to Bastion, all of a sudden them W's started coming in like nonsense.
How many times you can play the game?
Twice.
At least twice.
I thought I had it one time, but apparently not.
No. This guy over here is Bastion.
Yeah, yeah, sitting in one spot and just unloading bullets.
Look, man,
the clip is ridiculous. I don't know. I guess he doesn't need nerf because everybody feels embarrassed playing him, but I did not feel the shame.
Well, the thing is, he's when you go into turret mode, you're stationary. You can't move.
I know, but that clip, man, that clip lasts forever. When we would go in, we were playing Capture the Flag for Year of the Dog, you know, so they got this Capture the Flag mode. We would send people in. I would turret mode right at the door, right? They would have plenty of time to run all the way in, grab the flag. I'm unloading bullets the whole time. Run all the way out past me, and I'd still have a solid 2-3 seconds that I could just sit there and just... like impenetrable wall of bullets coming at you. If you didn't have a Genji or something else to block my bullets, like there was just no way. There was just a pile of bodies over there.
Next time we do that, I'll go Reinhardt for you.
Yeah, or there you Orisa, go.
One of the two.
We had a somebody was Orisa. It was really nice with the Orisa Roadhog combo. Oh, that's pretty good. But yeah, Reinhardt will also work on Capture the Flag.
Look, all I know is Junkrat continues to be awesome. I don't care how bad you nerfed him. I'm still just
packs
in your face.
His Junkrat's nerf was not bad. Literally, it was just like it does less damage the further you are away from his concussion mine. That's it. Everything else was exactly the same. So,
look, all I know is I throw the mine in your face, I blow it up, and then I hit you.
Well, I know that. All I know is that when I'm Tracer and I see a Junkrat, I'm like, nope, I'm gonna go this way.
Between the trap and the mine, good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
And I also streamed some Shadow of the Colossus.
Okay.
The second night.
How much further did you get in that?
I'm about halfway now. Yeah. I'm up to 8. I'm up to 8. So what I thought was originally going to be done, apparently is not done. There's still some stuff
You're halfway
do.
There.
Yep. But, no, that went well. You know, it went just as well the first time. You know, not really any trouble figuring out what the boss's weaknesses were or anything. Okay. Just had fun with it. Yeah. Got lost a couple times. I was straight up lost woodsing it a couple of times.
The world
like,
is
man.
Big enough. Yeah, you're just gonna.
What you mean? Holding the sword up doesn't tell you where to go.
Sometimes it does, and then other times it was.
And it takes you straight to a wall, and you're like, "What?
Yeah, like this can't be right. This can't be right."
Did you find the water temple yet?
I've seen this before. What?
I mean, he's other Link, right?
Hashtag replacement Link.
There you go, replacement Link. That's it. Oh, you got a couple of games in. I'm just really happy, Chris, that you're able to play games now. I remember there was a time
the dark days. The dark days for months.
I remember.
It is so much better.
All I remember is hearing Chris just cry.
I do cry a lot. I'm not gonna debate it. Y'all know.
No.
I could argue it, and anybody who knows me would be like, "You liar! You cry all the time."
I'm saying you're crying right now. When you weren't able to play games, it's just nothing but Chris's tears flowing.
Those were hard times, man. I'm just glad to be part of the world again.
Yeah, we're nice. Glad you're
welcome back.
Back
to society.
Yes,
exactly. So, I jumped in, of course, as you alluded to, Will. I pre-purchased Battle for Azeroth, got my Torn Druid up to 110. Haven't played too much on there, kind of started in Dalaran a little bit, but I'm hoping to do a little bit more this week. I'm just work was crazy last week. Ridiculous. But I'm excited. Just not even just the prospect of jumping in the Battle for Azeroth, but also like getting our guild going.
Yes.
The GM will invite me to it.
I'm thinking about it, the more you bring it up, the less and less the chances are it's going to happen. Just saying.
I'm just trying to help you out. If you forget, it lets you know, hey, over here. You're going
to
tell me.
I wouldn't do it right now, but I can't because you have to be on too, right? I can't send you an invite and just have it waiting for you.
My computer's, that one's the one that has the
game. I see that.
But no,
I mean,
super
your Mac
excited.
Can run it.
Huh?
Your Mac can run it.
I know I can, but I gotta download it, and I ain't got time for that right now.
Ain't nobody got time for
that. You can come
to
my house. It'll download like that.
We're trying to do a stream here.
Hey,
we're trying to do a podcast.
Hey, what you talking about?
No, we don't Bob podcast or
something. I'm glad you...
We were all thinking it.
This is why.
Yeah.
I love hanging out with you guys. That is amazing.
But pre-purchased that, so I'm getting ready for Battle for Azeroth, jumping into WoW. Dragon Ball FighterZ, played a little bit of that with you, Chris.
Yeah.
I love Chris. Chris is the resident champion.
For the first time, you played it with me instead of just standing there with the controller laying on the ground while I whoop on you.
I did. I actually did. I think we were We both went back and forth on a couple
of
matches.
We did a lot of times. Yeah, you now I feel like we could compete with each other and actually get better. Before I was like, apparently I'm like dev status good. I don't know what's happening. I go to the tournament, I'm like, nope, I'm just as bad as I thought.
No, but had a lot of fun with that. Getting better with Dragon Ball FighterZ. I think are we streaming that this week?
We are.
The plan is to stream that this week. Yeah,
yeah. I'm going to stream that on Tuesday, right? Tuesday.
I think so.
Yeah, because then we got After Hours Game Dev on Wednesday, RPG right. on Thursday.
Right. He's
playing something Wednesday too. You're After Dark, right?
Yeah, I'm playing Bayonetta 1 on the Switch.
That's so cool.
And then once I finish Bayonetta 1, we'll play Bayonetta 2.
And we'll make sure, guys. Don't worry. The events page over on twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive will have all of the streams for this week. Mm. So if you missed all that, don't worry. You can go to our Twitch page. You'll find all the events. But no, FighterZ is fun. Like, if you have not had a chance to play that game, why?
Yeah, right?
Like, really, what are you waiting for?
Even if you have just a passing interest in fighting games, if you're interested in Dragon Ball Z,
go play it.
That is the way to do it.
Apparently, it's one of the best-looking fighting games ever.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And the one I've done before, and I told you guys this, like, in between Overwatch matches that I played this week, I had my Nintendo Switch here on the desk, and I would play Celeste. Specifically, I've beaten the game now. I'm going through the B-sides. And let me tell you, man, Video Game Donkey was not joking around. B-sides are rough. It was like three or four nights constantly of playing just the first level B-side to get through it.
Right.
It was rough. And funny enough, the second level, it's not as hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first one, there were mechanics. I'm like, how do I beat this? There's no way you can reach over to that point. But this one, I'm like, okay, I can see the path.
Yeah,
you just got to get used to getting that, hitting the points right.
Right.
To do
right.
that.
I know he did the same thing. And Matt Makes Games, the guy who put that together or whatever, mm-hmm. did the same thing in Towerfall. There's like a single player mode that you could go through. That's like a challenge, and you can unlock some other stuff, some like two additional characters, this, that, and the other. And some okay. of them you would get into and you're like, oh, you know, it took 100 tries to do it, but you saw what you had to do.
Oh, yeah.
Other times you get in and you're like, nope, I got nothing. How
are you going to do this?
A plus B equals pi. And you're like, what is happening? I don't understand. I'm so confused.
But no, again, cannot recommend Celeste enough. If you have not had a chance to play that game on, I think, Nintendo Switch, and I think it's also on PC, get that game. It's super, super awesome.
Yes, buy Celeste, support the developer, enjoy platforming.
Yes, 100% yes. But that's all I played for this week. I think that's a wrap here on the Table Talk. So from there, let us go jump straight in to our topics of the show. Now first, the first topic is an interesting one, and I want to let Chris introduce it as well, because this is a topic he brought up. That he brought it up, we're like, oh, this is really good. I'm excited for this. And it revolves around the recent Ubisoft kind of, their quarterly earnings report and stuff like that.
Right, right.
So lead us in for this topic here.
So they had an investor call, okay. and they were talking about, you know, the future of Ubisoft going forward as a game publisher.
Okay.
And the concept behind what the crux of their argument was the games as a service model, which we've heard many, many times, you know, here. It's been a buzzword at least for about a year or two now, service. Yeah. So unlike, you know, the Microsoft Game Pass version of games as a service, you know, where it's actually like a Netflix-based service where you could pay and get games and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. this was more of the original thought of games as a service, which is try and keep a player invested longer in your particular game. So just keeping them around, keeping them from playing other things, and instead playing your game for longer, so that way they feel more invested in your game, and therefore they also feel the need to contribute further to the game as they go. So, you know, the concepts range from, you know, for instance, Assassin's Creed, they brought up, you know, how much cheaper it is for them to develop. They had, like, this flaming horse model in the game, and they're like, you know, the game's already developed. We're done. Everything, all the mechanics work. The game is sound on its own. Developing this horse in the game took a very minimalistic number of hours because we already had most of the texture work and we just had to apply it to this horse model that already existed in the game, do a few tweaks here and there, etc. But you don't have to have a team of, you know, 100 developers working on this. This is just a tiny team working with a tiny amount of resources. You can charge, I think they said $15 for this skin for this horse, which sounds astronomically high to me. But that's the example they used. And they're like, so within a very short turnaround, you can have a quality piece of product out there for a game that already exists using a very small team and make a quarter of the price of the game, you know, for every one of these things that you sell. You know, based on the fact that we already made the game. You put time and effort into a AAA title open world, give all the bones there to work with, and then from that point on, you can just keep milking it for longer and longer periods of time. So, you know, that was the primary... That was the primary thing, was just take what we got and stop making more games, and instead just try and drip-feed content over a longer period of time. And charge for all of that content so that way you can make money, you know, forever.
And so, based on that conversation, we're like, this would be a good conversation. So, our first topic of the show, we're going to talk about games as a service. And just their aspect in the gaming industry. It's one of the few kind of buzzwordy things I think we haven't talked about because freaking microtransactions have taken up the whole goddamn conversation
for the last year.
What, some of the questions with this topic, like, kind of giving a brief overview maybe to some people who don't understand what games as a service entail, where are games as a service headed to in the future of gaming and in the gaming industry? Are games as a service things that we as gamers and consumers and people want out of our games? And also, there was a particular topic you brought up as well, kind of looking at the slides, Chris, about one of the comments that Ubisoft made revolving around how games used to be more developer-centric and how they are wanting to go to a more player-centric base. Like, what does that mean in the grander scheme of things and as game as a service? And is that a good thing for the industry and for games?
Right.
There. So let's jump off, like, giving a brief overview for people who do not know what games as a service mean. It kind of, you gave the very good definition there, but the quick and dirty version, the TLDR, it's basically a game that continues to be iterated upon after its initial release.
Right.
A lot of different examples. Most that come to people's minds, Destiny and Destiny 2. That's a big one.
World of Warcraft.
You can look at that in a sense. It's an MMORPG, so that could be like older versions of it, but a lot of people may not think about it that way, but
that is... what they were doing with Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. They kept adding content to it, even though the game has an actual ending.
Yeah.
They keep, Master Trials or whatever, and then they got the Master Mode, and they added other, like, dungeon-esque things to it.
Another big one, Rainbow Six Siege. That game is 2.5 years
It's over two. Old. They just outlined their year 3 plan.
Yeah.
And so that includes the Outbreak. Okay. DLC or whatever they've got coming out now where they've got that new mode where you're going to be like fighting zombies basically inside the game now.
The Division.
Another good example
as well. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the tone behind what a game as a service is.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, I guess jumping on the first question, where do you guys think games as a services are headed in the future of gaming, and do you think that it's a place we want to go to?
Within reason, yes.
Okay.
So, games like, as an example, Far Cry 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to be all about more content in that because I loved Far Cry 4 and the engine they had around that. I'll still go back and play Far Cry. Primarily, the main reason I liked it was, and all the DLC that came for it, was every time a new one came out, my cousin Chuck and I would get in and we would go play together. And we had perfect opposite play styles. He would go full Rambo and I would go full Ninja.
Okay.
And so it'd be somebody pull aggro, somebody else come around and stab him in the back of the neck, or things like that. So we had where our playstyles would balance each other enough to we'd go through this content, and I could totally take one of the four big castles on its own without ever triggering an alarm. Things like that. So it got to the point where I could play that game, and I had a lot of fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those if I can get that and I can keep playing in that engine and keep the rhythm going,
mm-hmm.
yeah, okay, I could dig that. I can dig the hunting and all that other stuff. I love Far Cry, though. Primal was off for me. I didn't like that. But everything else was okay.
And I agree with your points on there, Will. Leon LeGray in Twitch chat brings up a point here we could touch on. They say the Division is pretty underrated. Siege is getting a lot of attention. I think that's where a lot of developers, where games as a service is so enticing, is the Division is getting a lot of attention. Like, we'll take an example. We will take the Division. The Division,
because we played the Division for a solid year, and we were playing it every week for like ever.
I wanted to play it again. I know I've talked about the podcast multiple times. Like, man, I've heard good things about the new updates. I want to get back into the game and play it again. The Division came out and was a huge boon. This was like right after Destiny came out. This was like the next big game.
Yes,
like, it's gonna be games as a service. It's gonna keep iterating on itself. And it came out, and I think it had that big pop and that big boom, but the lack of content.
I wouldn't say it was a lack of content. I would say it was they were shooting for a realistic take on things, and then the whole bullet sponge boss thing ended up causing some weird issues with that.
I'm thinking, like, there were a couple of issues with the game that people didn't like, and I'll say that I don't think the developers addressed it quickly enough to grab their attention.
You want
to
talk about addressing things quickly, all right? I don't know what it was like for you guys in console, though, but in PC land, we were hating on that game like it was going out of style.
Oh.
You could only play PvE content because the PvP area in the Dark Zone or whatever was so rife with cheating, and there was
no
one policing this thing for months on end. They had such a bad time. So what ended up happening was, I'll make this as quick and dirty as I can, but the character saves were on the machine itself. They were on your PC. They weren't server-centric. They were console-centric or whatever. So because of that, you could go in and change certain values on certain things within the game, giving you god powers. You know what I mean? So you could change your speed to the point where you could just blip across the map. You were straight up instant transmissioning. You know what I mean? Just like, done, taking it on. And then on top of that, so you would do it, you would set up your weapons in such a way that they would fire an entire clip of bullets in one shot. Just one, done, just over. So they would instant transmission in front of you and then throw a Kamehameha blowing off your top end. So if you weren't Cell and you didn't have the ability to regenerate, like, that was it. It was it. It was over. Jerry and I played a few different times trying to play Dark Zone, and I'm telling you, within 20 minutes of getting into the Dark Zone, somebody would show up on the map as a skull. Within split seconds of seeing the skull, they were in your grill, and it was like, boom, you hit the ground. You're like, what in the world just happened?
I did nothing about this.
It was chaos.
I was playing on PS4. I didn't have that.
Yeah, like, we were both on PS4. Yeah, we never had this problem.
Because of the fact that they'd set it up the way that they did that, it took them forever to figure out how to fix it. And by the time they finally got it down and fixed it, 90% of the player base had left. It was so hard to drag people kicking and screaming back into the game to try it once they had finally gotten rid of the cheating.
And that was the big thing, is that I think because they were a little slow in getting these updates, and we had we're having a plethora of new games coming in, is that people fell off of the Division and then win. But what, to Ubisoft's credit, in the Division devs credit, I think it was Ubisoft Massive, something like that. They continued, for the people that were playing, continued updating the games, listening to the community, making updates.
Surprisingly long.
This most recent update, I think I talked about it on a podcast episode once, that it's like one of their biggest updates. A lot of people were like, oh my god, this game is so good. And it was enough reading reviews on it, like, man, I need to jump back in the Division. We need to play this game again. I enjoyed the game, but I think its problems and the issues I had with it were too much for me. And then as people started falling off, I was like, that's not a point in jumping back in. But with that, games as a service, kind of getting that model down, Will, you said that you think that these are the games that people want.
So in some sense, yes, because of the experience you can have. So because couch co-op seems to be relegated to the indie space, except for very specific games developed around it. The times that or the chance I get to play with some of my friends ends up being through these games. Okay. So like Far Cry, I fully expect Chuck and I will probably end up playing that together. Because that's the kind of game we typically will get into. Or at some point, I guarantee you Far Cry 5 will be a day one purchase for me. Okay. And that's only because I know that I'm going to play that system to death. I've been doing it since Far Cry 3.
Well, okay.
So, I don't know. It's one of those, like, if I get more content in that world, yeah, I'll keep going back. Now, it won't be my only game. I mean, if I had to give up all the others, it'd be WoW.
And I think that...
But... That's for, the old school MMO, just getting those teeth in you and just be like,
it does a good job of that.
For one of the pros for games as a service, I think that helped a lot of gamers out, and that's, I think, why a lot of people like them, is the fact that once you get in, your barrier for entry to continue and have these new experiences come back at you is minimal to no cost at all.
True.
The Division, you can... Ubisoft has been very good, like using their season pass for like $30 or $40. But you're getting like, if you were playing Rainbow Six Siege and you got the season pass, man, you are living it up.
Oh no,
you've had this game for 3 years. We're going to the third year of brand new content, new operators, new maps, I believe, new weapons, everything. And same with the Division, you kept getting updates. You got these new patches, mm-hmm. new builds, and additions to the game, and they're. It shows a value, and especially for a lot of gamers and gamers with, disposable income, quote unquote, that really watch, like, I can only get one game a month. Mm. What am I going to get this month? Games as a service is very enticing to them because, oh, dude, I can play this game. If I can get a couple of my friends on it or make some new friends on there, then guess what? Now, next month, I may not have to spend $60 again. I could take, like, $20, get the new expansion pack.
For sure.
And continue playing this new content and continue playing this game that I love. So I think that's definitely a bonus. It shows some value. And even from a business standpoint, you think if you stretch your game out that long, that, like you said, one of you said it. Like, the game is already... Chris, you said it. The game is already... I had to think about that one for a minute. The game is already built. Game's already done. You're just making additions that, from a developer standpoint, won't take nearly as long, but you can definitely, as a business, make a fair amount of money if you do it right.
Yes.
And show that value to that customer.
Absolutely.
I think that's one of the big kind of pros for games as a service model in the gaming space.
Games as a service is a strange beast. You know what I mean? It's very strange because... Like, for me, you know, I have believed in the concept of games as a service for a very long time. Back when the PlayStation 2 first got its, online adapter piece that you could plug into the back of it and actually take the console online, mm-hmm. I was like, this is the start of games as a service. And I was super excited because the way I saw it, you know, before all of these, you know, titles today came out, you know, before the Xbox and, you know, crazy amounts of online content and this, that, and the other. I was just looking at it in a basic form of, like, Madden, where I was like, this will change the landscape for Madden. They don't have to make an annual release anymore. They can just update the game, sell a content patch, you know what I mean? Put it up at $10, $20, something like that, and then they're done. You know what I mean? They don't have to bother rebuilding the wheel every year. Instead, they can just do a quick content patch to give you a few added upgrades, maybe add a new Madden team, this, that, and the other, and then also give you updated rosters for all of the teams. And I was like, cool, I am totally in on this. That didn't make money, so they weren't about to do that. You know what I mean? So I'm like, well, I'm not going to buy Madden every year. That's silly. You had the ability to fix this problem, and you decided against that thought. You know what I mean? You're like, no, we'll go ahead and keep charging you $60. Like, well, you could charge everybody else $60. I'll play something else. Like, that is not a big deal to me. No problem. Mm-hmm. But even back then, like, I was down with the idea of games as a service. And, like, you know, coming into today's space, you know, prior to even really every pundit using the term games as a service was, like, Grand Theft Auto 5. You know, Grand Theft Auto 5 has pushed the thought of games as a service into uncharted territory. I mean, like
Grand Theft Auto Online is making more money for that game insane. Than the game is.
It's insane. And but also think about like what you can do in that game now. This point,
yeah.
You want Midnight Club 4? You got it. It's called Grand Theft Auto Online. You want to have Fortnite Battle Royale? Cool. It's called Grand Theft Auto Online. You want to play you name it, Payday 2? You don't need that either. Grand Theft Auto Online. It's like holy cow. You talk games as a service. You can have one game. If they can figure out a way for me to go on the Antorus raid, they can actually figure that out too.
It's funny because that helps that game out as well. If I'm not mistaken, I heard a number over 90 million copies sold of Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah,
I mean, I have a copy of it.
Every month, I'm pretty sure they're on the bestseller chart.
They continue to be on the top.
It's laughable. It is honestly. They should just be in the office just cracking up.
I'm waiting within the next, 3 months, I'm sure we're going to get the 100 million copies sold of Grand Theft Auto 5.
Absolutely.
Oh, there will definitely be a press release, guaranteed.
Yeah, good. When's the last time you heard of a game doing that? And games as a service, having that online aspect has helped give that game legs. Like, Rockstar's got, they made so much money beforehand from Grand Theft Auto 4 to 5. Like, they took all the time they needed making 5.
Oh,
so now, you're sitting here from Grand Theft Auto 5, like, they've got, this is Scrooge McDuck money. Like, the Rockstar devs diving into the big batch of coins in their vault. Like, they can take all the time they need. They are not in any way hurting for money. Like, they've got Red Dead Redemption 2's coming out this year, which is going to be another big hit. And if they follow this trend, they're going to put an online component in that.
Oh, come on. Before they even thought of what they were going to do with the game, they were like, how do we shoehorn this online thing into the game? But let's build the online first, and then the world around that. You know what I mean? You'd be stupid to do it any other way.
Leon McGray in Twitch chat is throwing those rupees up in
Twitch chat. Rupees all day long.
For Rockstar, I mean, they're making
up pots and throwing them against walls.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what they're doing.
And so there seems to be a lot of pros for this. Are there any cons you guys can think of for games as a service? At least as to where we're headed right now, that maybe they could, maybe it's not going to look good. Maybe they could work on.
Honestly, I fear for my free time because there are some games where I will just fall hard into it. Like, you guys will probably not see me on WoW when Far Cry 5 comes out for a solid 2-3 weeks.
Okay. People watching on Twitch chat, I want you to hear what Will just said. I want you to understand the ramifications that Will Turghurst, the host of the Blizzard-only podcast that we do, saying that he will be on a different game
for 2-3 weeks, solid.
Instead of WoW. That's a huge deal. That's a
I
big
love
point.
Far Cry. No, I love Far Cry, man. Primal was the redheaded stepchild. Get that out of here. The rest of it's been great. So, yeah, man. Plus, it's in Montana. Far Cry 4 was great. I loved it. I don't care what anybody said.
No, Far Cry 4 was great, but B in gaming is Ben from CTG.
Yay, Ben! What's up, Ben?
So he and I played a lot of Far Cry 4 in a similar fashion to you and Chuck, I imagine. Yeah. We didn't put the kind of hours that it seems like you put into Far Cry 4, but we played it for quite a bit. We did have a blast.
I'm going to stream the hell out of it.
Yeah, we enjoyed the when they got the little copters.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he would get in and copter it because I drive like total garbage. So he would have to drive, but I'd be like hanging off with that grappling hook
and just shooting at things.
That was so sick, man. That game was insane.
B is Gaming in chat says Far Cry 4 was great, lol. And he also says, what's up, guys? What's up,
man? Hey, what's
how
up,
you doing,
B?
Man? Glad to see you on the stream here tonight, man. We're goofing off.
So, no, but stuff like that, it's like, yeah, but it makes me have to choose. I can't. So the cool thing for me about Super Mario Odyssey is I beat it. It's done.
Mm.
No, you beat it, then the games as a service that you continue to get moons.
No, for me, once I beat Bowser, the game was done. I'm done. That game is shelved.
You get power moons until perpetuity. You continue to get power. When it's 999, they unlock the extra digit. So now you get to go to 9999.
I'm telling you now, for me, it's one of those I need there's some games I need to have a finite end.
Stigander in chat says, I think you mean to say the cool thing about Super Mario Odyssey is that you throw the hat on the thing and you become the thing.
Stig, thank you.
Oh,
thank you,
Stig.
Stig, we appreciate you enlightening us here on the stream. We really thank you for that.
No, but there, in all seriousness, I do need some games to have a finite end because I can't do everything like World of Warcraft.
And I think that's one of the... It could be the good or bad things for games as a service is the length, is when... When you have a couple of great games that have these long legs you can play for a year or two or longer, it's great. When you have every game...
Exactly.
With 2 or 3 years...
Yep.
That becomes... for like, basically, it's developers... Which, we want developers to vie for our attention, but sometimes it can get overwhelming for us.
Absolutely.
When you basically, yeah, like your salespeople knocking on your door, you're getting emails in your inbox like, come back, please, we've got new content, the fresh new patch, it's only $19.99 to join back in with your friends. And if every game was doing that, that could get a little overwhelming.
I think at that point, I'd have to coordinate with you guys to figure out what game I'm going to buy so we can play together.
Yeah, well, my annual games budget is out in January.
It's like, oh, geez.
Like, in being slightly nitpicky, but think about where we're at with open world games. Think about all the open world games we had last year, which were great. We loved the games that we played, but there's been the talk in the industry of open world fatigue and things like that. Like, oh man, another open world. Like, and it feels so samey. And it could get, if a lot of games went to a games as a service model, if all of them did that, then it could get to that same point as well, where it's just like, okay, I know every game that's a game as a service, the first patch is going to offer me horse armor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one's going to be like another small area, and then et cetera, et cetera. Nobody's really striving to separate themselves from the pack.
And the other problem, so time is definitely one thing, but the other problem that I've got with it is the tendency for AAA developers to blame failure on a game to things that weren't necessarily the actual cause. So, for instance, if Assassin's Creed Origins drops, right, and it's a great game, it everything works properly, no major issues, it's a fun game, has decent story, etc., but it's not able to sustain the games as a service model because all they're able to put out is all this content that costs $10 to $15 a pop for tiny things like Horse on Fire. You know what I mean? It makes no real change to the game whatsoever. So a lot of people don't buy it, and they go, see, this isn't working because people aren't buying it. See, the game must be the fault. It's like, the game was not the fault. The game was you guys getting all greedy like you always do. And then now you're going to blame the devs, and all of a sudden teams are getting cut and all this jazz.
Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yeah, right?
So funny thing, man. There's a game that charges $25 a mount for cosmetic mounts, and it does just fine. And they also charge $15 a month to play.
Yeah, it's World of Warcraft.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, people pay $25 for cosmetic mounts.
I think the big thing is that World of Warcraft, and I think to some extent MMORPGs,
get away with a lot more.
They get away with a lot more because they're MMORPGs. When you play an MMORPG, you know what you're getting into. You automatically understand that you're going into this ever-changing world that's going to be changing and evolving. And kind of with the introduction of microtransactions, it's very ancillary stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that World of Warcraft, you're already going to be spending probably a monthly subscription fee. And you're already going to be, whenever new expansions come back, you got to pay for them.
Mm.
But in all the cosmetic stuff you can purchase, I think what helps Blizzard and other MMORPGs is they do a lot of themed stuff where if you buy this pet, a portion of the funds or all the funds go to Red Cross.
Right. See, for me, like, I see StarCraft 2 as games as a service because they put it out and then they had all those additional two-player additions that they put on there. What are you laughing at?
I just want you to know, B is Gaming in Twitch chat says, Horse on Fire, worth every Just throw that out there.
Just ignore him. He's just going to troll.
No. Ben, you're right. That's why I have the metal horse that's on fire from the dev team at Blizzard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did.
There you go. So, anyway, so I see StarCraft 2 as games as a service because they released all that, you know, the additional missions, the Nova stuff that they put out where it was like DLC or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That was cool. For me, World of Warcraft is service as a service. Like, I don't know. I incorporate the bill of that into my monthly Ethernet bill or whatever. Like, that's just...
All right,
if you can somehow just roll that into my cable provider, that'd be fine.
Utility package check. Okay, we got the...
Oh, that's right, because you got to pay for two accounts.
Yeah.
We got rent, check. We got the World of Warcraft subscription. Okay, check. We're all good. Oh, that's it, Blizzard. We've got your new plan. It's like you've worked with utility companies around the globe. So now you don't even have to worry about two separate bills. They'll just bill you with your utilities bill. You'll have gas, water, electric. Wow. There are four options there.
Yeah, make sure you go ahead and get that in there while you're at it.
Stigander in chat, in Twitch chat says, seems like if you want games as a service model, you should make it available to modders.
Mm.
Okay. I could see that.
That's a point. How would that work, though?
I mean, I think his point of view on that is it's already games as a service by having the modding community get a hold of it. So kinda when like you look at Skyrim, how much I was going to go with Skyrim too,
because of modding,
dude, Skyrim would not have been released on the Switch if it wasn't for modding.
The game that won't die.
Yes, you know what I mean. The modding community has kept that a relevant title, in my opinion, and I think they owe a lot to their modding community in that respect.
Oh yeah, no, they definitely do. I'm sorry. I will never pay for the official sanctioned mods. No, I'm going to go find the free ones because I want the stuff the community made. I don't want crab armor and all that other weird crap.
Yeah, I want the Thomas the Tank Engine dragons flying.
I love that mod. I love having the shit scared out of me by Thomas.
Stick in chat continues says, yeah, but if we look at Skyrim, it still took a while before the modder cracked all the tools they needed.
Mm. That's true.
True.
I would rather the dev just embrace him with open arms.
Yeah.
Just be like, hey man, look, we know you're going to break this. Just come on.
Generally,
in.
Games, especially PC games, they've generally been. People mod it. Well, okay.
Yeah, they modded FighterZ.
You did.
Oh, yeah. You can get all kinds of cool stuff in there now.
Sonic? You can play a Sonic.
You can totally play a Sonic.
it just makes me happy that we live in a world where when you are the Dovahkiin Dragonborn, you can see this Macho Man Randy Savage dragon come down. Oh, yeah! Macho Man's coming for you!
I love that, dude.
And, but no, I think games and services are cool. I think, you know, as long as they're done right, they keep a steady stream of content, I think that they're very successful. It's just got to be careful with overloading it.
Yes.
When it gets overloaded, then we have to make decisions, and we may not make some developers happy when we're like, look, I love your game, but this one's got a lot better stuff going on right now. I gotta drop it off.
Hey, all my friends are over here. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no, look at Bungie.
Womp.
Sorry.
So
they did that to themselves.
I'm just saying that that was their original intent, was games as a service, and now they're just like, please come back. Please come back.
We're doing better. We'll see what happens with Destiny.
Oh, God.
You're still playing games. We see it on the Blizzard launcher that you've been playing plenty of other games. Just come on back.
Man, I got to read this one. Leon, I'm hoping for a Sonic game as long as Retarded Knuckles doesn't come available in game.
With you on that, they won't do that. They're for many different reasons.
Yeah.
Some are very obvious than others.
Yeah, Uganda Knuckles will never be officially sanctioned.
Yeah, never. The last part of this question for this topic is kind of the point you brought up for developer-centric versus player-centric. And you saw the chart here, and it showed in the Ubisoft Press quarterly thing, whatever. It went like they wanted to move from a developer-centric
model, which is what they're considering the current,
to a player-centric model. Now, like, give a quick idea. What does that mean, and do we think that's a good thing?
I guess the question is, I'm not sure what they meant by current games being developer-centric.
A part of me feels like what they meant by that, and I may be totally wrong on this, is that developer-centric as well as is whereas they like a lot of the decisions and content for game is very developer-centric, developer-focused. Like when we make adjustments and add-ons, and the developers, they have their groups that are like, I think this will be best for the game. We can go this route. da da da. And I think switching to a player centric model is kind of giving the player more voice and more controls. Like, this is how this should be. This is, we recommend, we like this game, we like this aspect, but we want it to be this. Something like, some good examples are, again, The Division. Like, talk about players voted, dude, I don't like the fact that this is a very realistic game, but I'm fighting enemies and they feel very bullet spongy. And then them coming down later and saying, okay, the bosses will now, you know, we've changed the gameplay tweaks a little bit, so now they don't shouldn't feel as bullet spongy as before. That's I think that's what they're talking about there.
Now, right. if that means they're going to listen to their community more and deliver what the community wants, that's only going to do good for them.
Yeah, Bia's Gaming in chat says, I think we're on the same page, developer-driven versus listening to the community.
Now, I mean...
he also says, I'm pro-developer, they're never wrong.
I'd like to introduce you to EA.
Yeah.
And let you go have that conversation.
Star Wars Battlefront 2? That's all I'm going to say. We've had enough conversations on the show about Star Wars
Battlefront. You can go watch our Game of the Year.
Yeah, go watch Biggest Fail. And Biggest Impact, actually. We did have a conversation about them there.
Yeah, but, that's a tough... I guess taking it from developer-centric to player-centric is harder than it sounds. Because I'm sure they thought they were doing that. You know, they put out Battlefront 1 and locked every additional piece of content behind a paywall. So nobody paid for it, and therefore it split their player base like it was going out of style.
Yeah.
So then they came out and they're like, okay, Battlefront 2, we're not doing that. In one sense, that's very player-centric, in a sense of they were paying attention to the community. They were like, okay, there's no DLC for this game. You know what I mean? We're not locking anything behind a paywall. And then they go developer-centric backwards, and they're like, but we're going to go ahead and make tons of money on microtransactions.
I think there's a line that you have to balance on with that. I think that, especially in this day and age with social media, developers are closer than ever to listening to community and listening to fan feedback. And as a developer, I think that they want to hear what the community has to say about their game. And like, what do you think we could, you know, get ideas that they didn't think of.
Right.
What can we do to make this game better? But at the same time, you have to be careful because there have been instances with games where you have a vocal part of that community that's like, oh my God, it would be so awesome if you do this or you add this on here. And then the developer does it. But those people that said they wanted it never show up.
Mm-hmm.
And they never come back. And then you may end up alienating the other part of the community that may have been overall silent. And they see this like, oh, I don't really like this now. And then I'm going to pull out a little bit. Now you're in trouble. Your game does, now you were hoping to double your user base. Now you've cut it in half instead.
It's true.
And so I think there, with developer-centric versus player-centric, there's a fine line. Like, what are good examples we've heard from developers? The ones that like, yeah, we reached out to the community. And a lot of the people said, the pistol in Halo didn't feel right or something like that. And it felt really weird and it felt off. So the developers are going to say, okay, so we adjusted the noise. We increased the shot volume of the pistol by like 15%. And then we said, oh, we made some changes to the pistol. What do you think? And then the community's like, oh, this is great. This is so much better.
Was that Halo or was that Call of Duty?
I'm just picking an example. I couldn't remember which one it was from, but
yeah, because I know there was a developer. I wonder if that was an Infinity Ward thing. But I specifically remember that story.
Yeah, so that's something to talk about there. Stig, I'm gonna hold that question for the end of the show because that looks like a big one here. But we can definitely talk about that one here. And of course, welcome Blop. Is it? Yeah, Biop. Welcome Biop to the Twitch chat. I guess that's my thought on it. I don't know if you guys have any other adding thoughts for Games of Service.
I just think kind of like what you said in that last part about the player-centric. It's important to be player-centric, but at the same time, don't change the fact that you're a developer. You have to use your own knowledge to make sure that you're making the right call instead of going straight to what the players want and then they never show up and now you've made sweeping changes and made your active community upset based on the changes that you thought people wanted. You know, I mean, you got to temper
it. Again, fine line. You got to walk that fine line.
For sure.
You want to get user feedback, but you also, you're the guys making the game and you know what you're trying to make. Don't sweep your vision under the rug as quickly You've talked about it in your views on Microsoft right now. Like, just if you have a vision, right. You have a plan, overall stick to it. Don't just say the first time somebody combats it, you're like, oh, nope, we weren't going to do that.
Right.
Dumpster fire. You know, we weren't going to do that. We're so what? Sorry.
Never.
Okay. Any other thoughts on games as a service?
Not really. I'm excited.
No, you know?
I'm excited to see what they do with it. I hope it turns out cool. I hope that they make a lot more games like Rainbow Six Siege, and you make a lot of people happy for years on end with a single title. I think that's cool.
I think
I never Ubisoft, would have expected that game Ubisoft to have that has been kind of nailing
it out of the park. Rainbow Six Siege, The Division, almost every game they have. Assassin's Creed Origins, they've already said that they have long-term plans for that.
Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, they're not
they're adding the stuff on that still too.
Oh man, Jesus! I got a bunch of crazy stuff here. I wanted to take the time because apparently we're having a lot of fun here tonight. Definitely want to give a shout out to Charisma. We have she signed up on our Patreon page.
Oh, very cool!
Appreciate that. She said she was really excited to check out the variety show we've got IRL. If you missed that, we're gonna have a basically we talk about anything except for video games for people at that tier on Patreon. We got a tip. I totally forget that we have a tip jar. In our channel on the bottom, we got a tip for that's all. We appreciate the tips there, guys. Definitely want to shoot that out to Luke in there with the rest of the tip. And as well, Leon LeGray just subbed to us for a $4.99 sub. We appreciate that as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Always forget to tell people that if you do have Amazon Prime, you also have Twitch Prime, which allows you to give one free sub to a Twitch channel at your leisure for free every month. So if you do have that available, just throw it to our channel. We'll take it. We'll appreciate it. Helps keep the lights on.
Yep.
We're blowing up. Blowing up!
Blowing up!
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Let's jump into topic number two, which it's about a developer that I think we've all enjoyed. We all have very fond memories of. Hopefully you do it watching us or listening to us, and that's THQ.
Yeah.
We're talking about THQ's... Not necessarily their rise to power, but their rise to relevance again. they're trying to make a comeback. So for people who don't know, THQ, they were probably one of the more prominent AA developers back in the day. Mm. Made a lot of cool games. Games that people can remember. You guys can help me on some. But almost all of the fond WWF and WCW wrestling games on the N64
right
back yeah. in the day.
Dude, those were great.
They were.
I love the chair.
The Darksiders franchise.
Darksiders yeah. franchise.
They were doing that. What else? Can you think of any other games that THQ was doing?
They did quite a bit of stuff. I just can't remember.
Homefront. They had the Homefront okay. franchise. Yep. You know, okay. it was that was a doomed franchise.
Didn't they have Saints Row?
Saints Row.
Yeah, they had Saints Row.
They had some of the Space Marine Warhammer 40K Space Marine type stuff.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, I did yep. not know that. Mm-hmm.
They did the Red Faction series.
Okay.
Red Faction.
Oh yeah, ooh, mm-hmm. that's a deep cut. That's yeah, PS2 yeah, Armageddon deep cut right there. And, so
Destroy All Humans was them,
right?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God, I love them even more now.
They had a pretty decent library.
They had like, a big stream. Like they were
some fun stuff, man. The PS, I played a lot of THQ.
PS1, PS probably the PS2 era. Well, PS2 a lot of the
era, game, they had they a ton in their stride. Stuff
they did Supreme Commander.
Yeah.
God.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, I'm sure we've called the game that you've played in chat at some point in time. I know a couple of years back they ended up filing for bankruptcy. They shut down. Nordic Games kind of came up after a couple of years and bought their properties. Like all these old THQ properties, we're going to buy them back. And I know I was particularly excited because of the Darksiders franchise. I think they brought back Darksiders. Did they make Darksiders 2 or did THQ do it before they went under? Do you remember? You guys?
No, THQ did Darksiders 2 before they and went
the,
under.
The
right?
one, okay. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And so they got all the properties from THQ back. And now with those properties, it feels like we're starting to see this resurgence. We got Darksiders 3, which I'm pretty excited for, is coming back.
I am.
They're making a comeback.
I am very excited. That was a good game. That's a good franchise.
The good franchise. For people who have never played the Darksiders series, I'm going to give you the TLDR pitch. Basically, a goth Zelda.
Yes.
Like, literally, like, old, like Zelda, Ocarina of Time, and Majora's Mask style, where you have your dungeons and your kind of open, sandboxy world with a goth overlay where you've got, like, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse and the world and all this other stuff. That's it. If you like Zelda, go play Darksiders. I'm sure it's on Game Pass. You can get the both versions very cheap.
Actually, I think Darksiders to the Definitive Edition is on Game Pass.
Yeah. Come on. But now, like, we've got Darksiders 3 is coming up, and there was some big news this week that THQ Nordic, which is now what Nordic Games, when they bought THQ, what they call themselves now, they've bought Deep Silver.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, Deep Silver includes properties such as
Saints Row.
What was the other Deep Silver property that they were doing? Oh, I'm going to have to look this up.
Homefront? Oh, Dead Island.
Dead Island.
That's Deep Silver.
The sequel that we haven't heard from in a super long time.
Yeah. Metro.
In Metro, yes. Metro Exodus. That's, they're buying that entire studio. And what's so funny is that so many of those games were old THQ properties.
Right.
And apparently THQ is trying to get the gang back
together. Yeah, THQ is just going to be THQ again. It's like, come on, guys. Wait. I told you guys, we talked about this just before the stream or whatever. I thought when THQ went under, I'm like, did you guys exhaust all options before you decided to do this? Because I'm looking at their game library and I'm going, I played it, I bought it. I'm like, I don't know, man. It doesn't feel like you were that bad. Like, what were you doing with your money besides, you know, was it just too many hookers and cocaine? Like, what was the plan here? I guess
it was back in that day, so.
Yeah, right?
Hey, we read the book with Nolan Bushnell. We saw what goes on back then.
So, funny thing. They announced Biomutant, which is a third-person action game in the fantasy universe. But the Darksiders 3 one they have in the pipeline.
Looks good.
Biomutant does look good.
That was E3 last year, right?
Yeah.
That was cool. That one looked good.
But the other cool thing is Darksiders 3 is being worked on by Gunfire Games, and it's from a bunch of people that were on Vigil Games.
Some of the devs for Darksiders.
It's all coming back around.
So, talking about in THQ's rise to relevance again, they bought Deep Silver. Number one, where the hell did they come from?
Right.
Like, how did this happen? And another big one, we don't understand. We think maybe it was money issues or whatnot. Do we think that THQ Nordic, now that they're called, can learn from the mistakes that were made in the past to maybe prevent bankruptcy and these issues that THQ went through happen again and kind of bring them up to a mid to top tier game development studio again, especially with the acquisition of a lot of great properties from Deep Silver? What do you guys think?
Oh, man.
There's room in that space.
There's a lot of room there. I would love to see some indie devs bump up to that tier.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guys behind Hellblade.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see them get AA tier funding and see what they could do with that.
Yeah.
Little things like that. Dude, could you imagine if Chucklefish Games had AA tier funding? What they could help with as far as all the indies they're publishing?
I think with Stardew Valley and Wargroove coming, I think they're fine. We're good. We're going to be all right.
No, but I'm just saying, imagine if we could get some the passion from some of these higher-end indies and just crank them up a couple more notches, see what we could get out of that. Because I really think that some of these guys could do a lot more if they had more time to work on their games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that in that space, there's still a lot of need. There's a lot of hurt for that space, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
The indie scene is thriving. The AAA scene will always thrive. You know what I mean? But that AA space, I feel like there's definitely some room. My thing with THQ, when they originally went under, I looked at their catalog, and like I said, a lot of the games, I was like, man, what happened to this developer or whatever, or this publisher? But there were a lot of Wii titles, if you remember correctly. They doubled down so hard on the Wii. And the Wii, as we all know, was just one game. It was Wii Sports. That was the only game on the Wii.
Apparently it was the only one you needed to sell that console.
I knew so many people who had a Wii and owned not a single game outside from the back-end title. We had one at work. Like, I think a lot of people's jobs had one at work for no apparent reason in the break room or at some other work function or whatever.
It was inexpensive.
That was the one game that they had for it. Nobody ever had anything else.
No, you're forgetting the other game that was a requirement of any anime fan, Tenkaichi 3.
because you could Kamehameha with the nunchuck.
Oh my god, I remember that. Kamehameha. I was one of the fools doing that.
I did that too.
So you had Dragon Ball on the Kinect then too?
No, because I didn't have a Kinect. I had a 360, but I didn't have a Kinect. I didn't spend the money on it.
It was funny. Leon LeGray brings up in Twitch chat here. I felt that Deep Silver as a company just came out of nowhere. Don't know anything about them. I agree. What was one of the first big games they came out with? It wasn't Saints Row. I might be wrong about that.
I thought it was Saints Row.
Maybe it was Saints. Okay, maybe it was Saints Row.
Either that or Dead Island. Dead Island was them.
And what's funny is I feel like THQ Nordic didn't buy them for a lot. It was like $140 million.
Yeah.
I feel like for some of those properties, that especially Saints Row, which really kind of cranked up and has been big lately.
Mm.
It's like, wow, that's a sequel.
You know, I used to think they were big, and then Grand Theft Auto 5 came out, and it was there was a time where the two of them were just like, oh, this year we're doing this. Oh, but next year we're doing that. It's like, and then Grand Theft Auto 5 came out, and they go, this is our final form.
Well, apparently we have a fan in chat of your shirt.
Oh, mine?
Yeah, of your particular
shirt. Oh, let me close the laptop here.
Our good friend Steven over at Pinball and Desirables. If you've never watched a pinball stream, make sure to follow him.
That's the one to watch.
Yeah, twitch.tv/pinballundesirables. He's awesome. Sometimes we're on there and we scrub it up on the pinball systems.
we go there to make him look good at pinball.
Yeah.
Because he then shows that, oh, this is what pinball actually is. This is what video game nerds who think they like pinball is.
But make him look good at pinball, but he makes me look bad as an alcoholic. I'll tell you that.
But I feel like there has to be some like old THQ execs is like, we're not done yet. And they got like, they disbanded and they're like, we're going to sneak in the Nordic. Hey, yeah. And they're like, using some like force influence.
It's almost like they did it just to dodge a bunch of debt or something. Like, okay, we got to get out from this. Hang on a minute.
So guys, Deep Silver founded in 2002.
Okay.
All right. Their parent company was Koch Media. Koch Media is what was purchased by THQ Nordic. So they're just a subsidiary of a purchase that occurred.
It's still theirs.
Right. Now, funny thing. Want to know one of the things they're working on? Shenmue 3. Deep Silver is.
Yeah, that is true. Oh, man.
So.
God.
So I'm just digging into this. Unfortunately, they were also involved in Mighty No. 9.
CSL says in chat, did they drop a bantha off? Inside joke.
Love dropping banthas on things.
Operation Bantha Drop.
But like with Deep Silver, like these are, I would definitely say Deep Silver, Nordic Games, THQ, these are all like middle tier developers. Do you think that them kind of combining their forces, do you think that they'll be able to kind of strengthen back that AAA space we've been missing? And I get kind of relaying the second question, do you think, you guys think that they can learn from their mistakes of the past and kind of bring relevance back to that medium, that middle ground?
Yeah, I definitely think there is a space, especially if these guys keep banding together. They're essentially, at one point, they will get big enough to be like Robin Hood and the Merry Band of Thieves or whatever.
Robbie Hood.
Yeah, Robbie Hood. I keep messing with
friends call him Robbie.
Yeah. Robin Hood, the Robbie. No, but you get what I'm saying. Like, they'll be the little guys off on the side. They're just going to steal from these guys. Not literally steal, but make games and be like, yeah, we're not going to publish for you. We're going to publish ourselves. And all the peasants over here will be happy.
Yeah, my thing,
us being the peasants, of course.
My thing is definitely just that space getting filled. I remember back on the days of the PS2, it felt like everybody had a PS2. And because of that, there was so much room for developers to grow. You know what I mean? Like, you could make a game about anything and somebody was going to buy it and you could get some profits there. You know, so you had your MX versus ATV line and you had your wrestling games and you had your Japanese RPGs and you had all this different variety for people to be able to get into. And it felt like when you would go to the store to buy a game, it wasn't just the latest Call of Duty, the latest Battlefield, the latest whatever. It felt like there was so much to choose from that I feel like in today's space, there might not be as much. You know what I mean? When you get there, it's kind of just like, this is what we sell. You know what I mean? Here's your 2 dozen titles that everybody knows.
I think
about.
From a physical storefront, I could agree with you on that part, because you don't really see the indie scene, the indie dev scene, right, on a physical shelf. Right. You got to go to the Xbox store, the PlayStation store, or Steam. Then you see all those plethora of games. Oh, yeah, no,
absolutely. When you count the indie scene, you know, there's tons and tons and tons of stuff to play. But that AA scene is important. You know what I mean? I feel for, like, parents that like to buy their kids games at the store, which is still a thing that happens, you know?
Surprise!
And then, yeah, like, so sometimes they don't just go online to buy the latest game. Instead, they actually go to the store and go, what would Timmy like? You know what I mean? Like,
they're like, oh, there's a Space Marine on the box. Give me that.
Yeah, so
he loves Space Marine games.
I think there's some room for it there. I think that, you know, especially nowadays with the number of consoles getting sold, you know what I mean? Like, it's absolutely out of control. Yep. And especially with the thriving ecosystem of the Nintendo Switch, you know what I mean? Which is just like every title.
Every indie
like
is trying to
hit.
Get their system on, like, the Switch as fast as possible.
So it's just like, it's a great time, I think, for a AA, know, resurgence.
I think that, I think even more so now, if I think about AA, now this could be me and just kind of my gut reaction right now, making games and pricing them around like the 40, even to some extent, depending on the title and the branding, like the $60 price point. But if I think that they could definitely open up that $40 tier.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I feel like people, when you hear indie, a lot of people think $20 tier. When you hear AAA, a lot of people think that's 60 plus. Mm. If you pop in around that $40 tier, especially for some of the games that they've got sliding in and coming in.
For sure.
Beautiful. I think it would be perfect.
Yeah.
And especially, like, you have these top-tier games that you know Little Timmy's going to love. But then, like, Little Timmy comes in, he might see, man, this game looks cool, and it's not as much as that Call of Duty. And I know
or,
I can't get Call
maybe
of
Duty. Little Timmy's parents could be like, wait, you can get two games for $60 instead of one? They're going to see a value proposition there.
Yes, absolutely. Very true. Absolutely. A value proposition that they may not see if it's only on the PlayStation Store. You know what I mean? That's not where they shop. That's not where they're going.
Pinball and Desirable says, look at Arc System Works. Are they AAA? I don't know, but they have three games at Evo.
They've been a big player in the fighting game scene for a while, at least, especially on the Weeaboo side of things.
Would you call them AAA? With Dragon Ball FighterZ, with Arc System Works specifically.
Well, they were bankrolled by Bandai Namco for that particular game.
And I think, like, people may see Dragon Ball FighterZ like, oh, they're AAA, but I think the way that Arc System Works made their name was in Guilty Gear and BlazBlue.
Yeah.
And a lot of kind of mid-tier fighting game titles. Now, they're fighting their development. They're a top-tier fighting game developer.
Yeah.
But I think I wouldn't say AAA for them. Would not say AAA for them.
Yeah.
Because people only know about Arc System Works because of Dragon Ball FighterZ. I mean, when it was Guilty Gear, where were you at when Guilty Gear was a thing?
I heard the name Guilty Gear, like, it feels like 20 years ago. So I've heard it 100 million times. I didn't play any of them, man. I didn't play any of them. I didn't feel the need.
Arc System Works, just to give you guys an idea, they're the ones who made Battletoads.
Really?
I'm over here on their page, the games they're responsible for. They had a Sailor Moon game, Battletoads, Virtual Open Tennis, Guilty Gear.
I thought Battletoads was on the
Sega.
Huh?
It might have been on Sega.
It was on Sega.
Not the console. It was on the thing for the Xbox. The
Game Pass?
No.
They remade
Rare.
Battletoads.
There was a Rare replay. Isn't Battletoads on Rare replay?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I have Rare Replay, and I don't remember seeing it in there.
Chris is going to look.
Leon
LeGray in chat, quick side note, you need to get a Switch, sir. It's awesome.
Yes, I love my Switch.
Period. For Zelda and Mario alone, just go get it.
Yes.
Yeah, no, Guilty Gear came out in 98. Guilty Gear X, I know, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, because they put it literally on the Dreamcast, PS2, Naomi, Game Boy Advance, and the PC.
Battletoads, 1991.
Give it up for Leon LeGray as well. He's played some Guilty Gear. You do have to play Guilty Gear. It's
so
awesome.
I mean, it's Wikipedia, so...
No, I know. This is true. But I'm just like...
Chris, you gotta play some Guilty Gear. It's fun. It's a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's very anime.
Yeah.
That is straight up the Weeaboo Fighter.
Yes.
I played BlazBlue before Dragon Ball came out because it was one of the Humble Bundles. So I picked that up. I played it. Didn't like it. Wasn't thrilled to death with it. It was just kind of like,
Guilty Gear.
Fine.
Heaven or Hell, let's rock.
Yeah?
It's awesome.
Okay.
It's very awesome. Very awesome. But no, I'm hoping that THQ and Deep Silver, or kind of just THQ Nordic now, with these new properties, I hope we do see a kind of a boon in the AA market. Kind of like some, again, some $30, $40 games of that quality and have some of their bigger titles. I think probably Biomutant is going to be one of their big titles they're pushing. Maybe Saints Row, if they can get that, whatever they're working on next. I think is, in a surprising way, somehow THQ, we talked about it off mic, but they died. And then they're rising up from the grave doing the Michael Jackson Thriller dance. Like, no, we're not done yet. And they're coming back in a big way. And I'm really hoping that they can help revive that AA space.
I'm glad that I'm the best for calling it the Weeaboo Fighter, I guess. I'll take that.
Oh, we got a promise in chat. Is there your stream some guilty here?
I'll pick it up if I don't already have it somewhere in the 97 pages. I mean, of I have free
it
on PlayStation.
We have it for PlayStation.
Yeah. No, we both own XR Revelator. You're fine.
Yes. Okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I've been a big advocate of Guilty Gear. I love Guilty Gear.
So, funny thing, Persona 4 Arena was Arc System Works.
Yes, I did know that, actually.
Yep. I did not know that.
Persona 4 Arena?
It's a fighting game.
Well, hold on. I have this book here.
Okay. No, you've got the Persona. You've got the Persona.
Are you
like, going to
pull out
book.
That art book again?
Yeah, I've got this book here. I don't know if you see it.
It's like their Bible of Persona.
Oh, you can definitely kind of book them on Persona.
Have you heard about our Lord and Savior?
Yeah. Our scene.
Another inside joke for people who don't know. We'll have to give you guys that story one day.
Oh my god.
But no, I'm really hoping. Any final thoughts you guys have on THQ Nordic and hopefully their rise to come back and
hopefully their rise. That's yeah. all I would say. I'm excited.
I want more AA developers.
My final thought on the first topic was I'm excited. Second topic, I'm excited.
There you go. Hey, man, that's a thought. That's
I'm easy to please, people. I'm easy to please. I like playing video games.
Give us video games. Give us some anime.
Give me video games to play, and I will keep playing the games.
And apparently Cam's a weeb, according to PBU, so.
Wear it proud, baby. I'll wear it proud. And so that's the end of the second topic we have there here. Now that we actually have at least one question right now, we'll jump into our kind of QA section here, guys. If you are watching on Twitch and you want to ask questions, all you have to do is in Twitch chat, just throw in hashtag AskRocketPunch. And we're at this part of the show here where we will answer some of the questions we got. I made a promise to Stig that I would answer a question for him. Let me scroll back up here. Stigander in Twitch chat asks, just a thought. What do you think about the slew of indie games that pay for development via Patreon or similar subscription services? Technically, they already have a game engine. They're just adding content. Isn't that games as a service? What do you guys think? I don't know if we've ever talked about
it. I mean, I've kickstarted some games. Soul Saga is one that he gives a lot of developer updates on, and he's working with artists from other countries to try to get things going. But the game's not out yet. And he does, there's another subscription model where you can be in beta and alpha testing and all that stuff. And it's cool, but I wouldn't necessarily consider that a game as a service. I already paid for the game. It's just I'm getting live devlogs every month. So it's more like I get to give feedback on what I see and communicate with the developer directly, which is great. But he's definitely an indie, you know, because it's like a 5-person team making this love letter to 90s Japanese RPG games. So
would you guys consider those games as a service, the ones that are like on Kickstarter and Patreon and whatnot?
If the game is out in like early access, like Astroneer, maybe. But then again, it's one of those, like, you've paid for it once. Once it comes out, it's yours. So no, I wouldn't. I mean, unless it's an active subscription involvement to play it, I wouldn't see that personally, just because eventually the game will be fully out and realized.
CSL in chat says, but AAA and big companies do that also. You can't just isolate those to indies. And that's true. And indies do it a lot. That's the one you prominently see. But there have been, I think, what's that new one that Tim Schafer and those guys did for Psychonauts 3? Yeah. I had it and I lost it. It was where, like, you could actually pay and you would be part of, like, the development crew if you donated enough money.
Well, it's
a very niche one.
I mean, in the Kickstarter for Super Troopers 2, if you paid enough, you got to keep the cop car after they were done shooting with it. It didn't mean you're, you know, part of the cast.
Yeah.
I mean, you just get to have the car that was in the movie.
Right.
I don't think to answer Stig's question, me, I don't think they're games as a service in what we're talking about. I think more so, we're focusing on indies on that part that are on Patreon and Kickstarter. The reason they're on there, as most people are on there, is to kind of help fund what they're currently trying to do. You're not donating the Kickstarter or the Patreon for this particular game to help make expanded content, but more so to kind of help make the game be made for various reasons. Small team, it's only a single person, they don't have enough money, they need some other tools to get stuff done. Maybe it's a bigger team that has some ideas, but it's an indie group, they don't have the funding, or they can't talk to a publisher to get money, so they reach out to the community directly. I think that's a little bit different from games as a service, where really the game itself's already made and whatnot, but they're trying to create additional content to keep the game running longer. I mean, they're like, perfect examples, Leon LeGray brought it up in chat, Mighty Number 9.
Well,
it's
the majesty.
Yeah, that it is. You funded that game to make the game, have the game be made, but there was no additional content after that game. I can guarantee you that. After that, and I think a lot of indie games that are on those spaces are really just looking for community feedback to kind of help. Here's our idea. Here's our pitch. What do you guys think? And then if people want to help support it, they can.
Right. Now, is early access, as B as Gaming says, how does he feel about the early access model? Same thing, I guess, kind of. Like, would you consider early access a game as a service?
No, I feel like that's in the same category.
It's a purchase of a game, right? Yeah, it's just a game that you happen to be playing before release date. I wouldn't necessarily say it's games as a service.
No, you're helping. Again, I think that's the more common factor for indie game devs, especially on PC, to help get their game funded.
Right.
Is you can go just, you're basically, let me just go ahead and buy the game ahead of time. This is like the next iteration of pre-order. We've got the buy on release day, pre-order, early access. But soon enough, we're going to have the day where game developers just have to think of an idea and they'll post it online. And then you'll be able to pre-order the game just from that one idea. It's going to be really awesome. Something special. Something special.
Something special. Oh, yeah. Very similar to...
taking pre-orders.
PlayerUnknown's.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, boy. Don't get me started. Don't get me started.
I push the Goku button, would you say? Leon LeGray says, what about a Humble Bundle? The Humble Monthly. Would that be games as a service? It's more of a service as a service.
Right? Yeah, I would say that's kind of like Netflix. I mean, you know, it's like I get games every month for money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, but if Xbox Game Pass would be considered games as a service.
I wouldn't consider it as games as a service.
See, I don't either.
I would consider that as like, it's like $10 a month and I get to buy it.
Xbox Games Pass and Humble Bundle is a different, it's games as a service, but it's a different meaning of games as a service.
It's literally, they're selling me games every month as a service.
Service full of games versus games as a service.
That's what I would say there. Pinball Desirables in Twitch chat says, ask Rocket Punch, with the AAA, do you think the pressure to make ludicrous profit to make up for their ludicrous cost and targets results in their exploitative tactics? Or do the A and double A devs just don't think they can get away with it? ?
I think that goes down to the developer's integrity and just in general. Like, if you, because there's a AAA developer, the guys that made, we were just talking about them on the way back from the restaurant today. The guys behind Witcher 3.
CD Projekt Red.
Yeah. They're talking about value proposition and what they offer as a high-end AAA game. If they're charging you $60, you get so many hours of what they feel is quality content, then a couple hundred hours of side content. And so for me, I mean, they're not really into this whole crap that EA's into, where they're just like, hey, you want to progress in the game, buy these loot boxes. And that's the only way to do it.
BS Gaming and Twitch chat brings up a good point, and I kind of agree with them on that. PUBG is trying to make some more money with crates, just depends on the dev. That last part just depends on the dev, because I think that it's based on answering Pinball Undesirables, your question. It's based on that dev. Like, I think there are developers that try and make additional costs, and they do things like season passes and microtransactions and things like that to kind of help offset costs, especially because it's game development. costs are going to balloon way more than you expect them to. You, right. you set a budget for $1 million, it's going to be like 1.5 or 2 million. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how, as best as you can. I think with some of these bigger companies, for us, it can be viewed and can be seen and can be interpreted as exploitative. Star Wars Battlefront 2. You got the juggernaut EA backing you, and yet you're releasing a game with very egregious microtransactions. Like that's a little bit hard for gamers to swallow. We're not that stupid. but and then you have other devs like CD Projekt Red, who releases The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. It had a lot of hype building up to it, but overall, the Witcher brand wasn't very widely known, especially outside of the PC crowd.
True.
And yet you have a developer who puts in their box a little note that says, thank you for purchasing this game. We're committed to making sure that any small downloadable content is completely free for you. And like they had tons of small little, like the horse armor, the haircut thing, like 20, I think, pieces of free DLC. But CD Projekt Red was very, very clear when you will know when we release content that you will have to pay for, whether an expansion or some point. So Blood of Wine, like, what were the expansions? The two expansions for Witcher.
Blood and Wine.
Blood and Wine was one, right?
Blood and Wine, yep.
And the other one was...
Is it somewhere? No, it's. I have it digitally, so I can't look over there.
When you said something about having the box, I'm like, what box?
It's in the front.
Come with a box.
I bought that game like four different times. Leave me alone.
I did buy that game on PlayStation and on PC.
So did I. So it, wait, those were like $20, $30. If you got the season pass, it was $40. But those were like 30 to 60 hours added on to a game that was already 100 plus hours. And so I think that, again, could it be help?
Hearts of Stone.
Hearts of Stone, okay. That's a good one. Thanks, chat. I think that in one instance, that can be viewed as exploitative. And the other instance, that's like, they're making content, and you, again, it depends on the dev. We found value, like, oh, Hearts of Stone, 30 more hours of Witcher 3 for only $20. Yeah, okay.
You said that could be considered exploitative?
No, the EA.
Okay.
EA
I'm like, man, I look at Witcher and I go, that's how you do it. You know what I mean? Every time I look at anything Witcher related, I'm like, you put out DLC that's basically an entire new game? That's amazing.
I think, BS Gaming, I agree with your point in chat. AAA definitely has more pressure. I think the bigger the dev team is and the larger scope they get, the more money they have to make to recoup their costs, which in turn can lead them down a road of, let's add loot boxes, let's add microtransactions to try and it's not bad from a business perspective. Like, we as consumers, we understand what you're trying to do, but there are ways that we appreciate you doing it, and there are ways that we appreciate you not doing it.
How loud are your shareholders?
Exactly. And it's clearly be seen, and if, you know, we understand that those devs have to get paid, and we're doing, you know, you want to do whatever you can within reason. That's the key. Within reason to request money, like, make a case for us. Like, we want you to pay $20 extra for this content. Here's why. Here's what's in the content. Boom, 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 boom. Here's what you get. Okay, and then we'll make the determination on whether that's valuable to you. Any other questions? No, I think
I didn't see anything.
Is that all the questions? Is that it? Okay. All right, guys, then that is it for episode 89 of the Rocket Punchcast. Again, we thank everybody on Twitch for joining us here for the stream tonight. Thank everybody who's listening via audio services around the globe. Remember, as we say on the top of the show, you can always go to Rocket Punch Go to find all the content that we make, all of our podcasts and streams. We will be posting the stream events. I think if we can do it again, our streams for Rocket Punch Live for this week are, I think, if you're watching this live on Twitch, you'll have a chance to catch it. But Monday, we'll be looking at doing Overwatch again. Yep. Tuesday, some Dragon Ball FighterZ with Chris. Wednesday is going to be some Bayonetta.
Yeah, the Umbral Witch will be, I'll be playing that game for the first time. All I know is that will have to have the mature flag on it.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be an After Dark stream, most definitely. And then this Saturday, I'll jump back into A Link to the Past for our Retro Rewind stream Saturday mornings. But we'll have those on the events page over on our Twitch page, so don't worry about knowing when those times are. We'll let you know.
And don't forget to come see us at the
yes.
Pop Culture Con.
If you're in the North Alabama area, come see us at the Huntsville Comic and Pop Culture Expo this Saturday, February 24th, 2 p.m. What other stuff we got? If you want to help support the show, many different ways you can do that. We've got the tip jar in our Twitch channel here. You can follow us, throw that little heart up at the top of your screen on our channel on twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. If you want to be a sub to our Twitch channel as well, definitely help us out and do that there. If you want some cool rewards with your donation and your support, you can go to patreon.com/RocketPunch. As little as $1 a month keeps the lights on here in the studio. And you get some awesome cool stuff like bonus episodes. We've got the new IRL variety show that we're going to be releasing episode 00 this week sometime for people at the Platinum tier. So definitely a lot of different ways you can help support us there, and we appreciate everyone who has supported us in any way. Even if you can't do anything monetarily, you can help by just watching this show and spreading the word. We're trying to make it big here, so any little bit helps.
The bird is the word.
That's right. And also, if you are listening via audio services, please take a few minutes of your time, go to your podcast service of choice, rate and review us on there. That helps our discoverability and gets us in front of a lot more people.
So totes appreciate. Totes appreciate.
Any final words from the crew?
Oh, I'm good.
He's vertical. He always likes saying that. Yeah. And we have a Murloc in chat.
I don't know if I would call that, straight up Merlin in status. You're getting better at it, though.
That's true. Congratulations to CSOL. He won our first free game giveaway over on Patreon. He got a nice copy of Owlboy, so congratulations to him.
Yeah. I like his nudge.
slash nudge. But guys, thank you so much for joining on the stream and listening on podcast services. We appreciate your guys' support. We'll see you next time.